God's grace and peace be multiplied to all richly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Bring you greetings from 164 mission outposts that make up the Ohio District, your neighbors to the east, who are united with you in a common faith, common confession, and a common purpose to help extend God's kingdom both in breadth and depth throughout the world. Many years ago, while I was still pastor of my first congregation in New Jersey, I received a phone call. A man identified himself as a pastor of one of our churches in Georgia. It seems that their youth group had held a fundraiser for one of their members who was incarcerated in New Jersey's Rahway Prison. They raised the sum of $250 and found out, to their dismay, that the following day was the last day the prison treasury would accept money into the accounts of those imprisoned there for toiletries and incidentals and snacks. So he was calling to say, is there any chance that you could take $250 and deposit it in Rahway account for this man? We'll send you the check for $250 and more to cover your expenses. Well, it turns out that so-called pastor was the inmate himself. He had somehow rigged the prison phone system so that the first voice I heard was a female voice telling me I was receiving a call from Georgia. 15 years ago, my wife and I were vacationing in China. One evening in Beijing, a lady in tattered clothes came up to us with a baby and was begging for money. The tour guide spoke to her briefly and she ran off very quickly. Then the tour guide explained to us a number of years previous, the police had followed some of these beggars back to their homes, places of residence at night, and found out that quite a few of them had very nice homes out in the country, testimonies to their successfulness as beggars. Then this summer in Ottawa, my wife and I were touring and we walked past a man in a wheelchair holding a sign, "Would you please help me pay for my medical expenses?" Well, I knew enough about the Canadian healthcare system to realize I think this man is stationed where he is next to this tourist attraction to attract the attention of non-Canadians and play upon their sympathies. Well, as our text from 2 Kings reveals, playing upon the sympathies of trusting individuals is nothing new. Elisha had certainly gained the confidence and the trust of Naaman by curing him of his leprosy. And perhaps as the commander reflected upon that new state of life that he had, maybe the thought ran through his mind in words similar to these: "What shall I render to the Lord for all of his benefits to me?" That cleansing had already produced within him a confession of faith. "Now I know there is no God in the world except Israel's." It was followed by a desire to express his gratitude. And you, future pastors, will find similar reactions when you bring spiritual cleansing to those who are burdened by the disease of sin. They have heard lecture after lecture of how they have done wrong. They have perhaps been snubbed by their families, and they have beat themselves up day after day. And now here you come, bringing them the good news of the forgiveness of those sins in Jesus Christ. And as that burden is lifted from them, as they hear that it will now be possible for them to look at themselves in the mirror and to actually get some rest at night, there naturally flows from that desire to express gratitude. You have gained their trust and gratitude because you cared for them. So don't be surprised when a living faith responds to the good news it receives. Zacchaeus vowed that he would repay fourfold those whom he had defrauded. Lydia constrained Paul and company to stay with her in her home rather than check into the local Motel 6. And so it goes. Luther was right. Faith is a living, active thing. But in its eagerness to respond, faith can also be vulnerable. It can be taken advantage of. And Gehazi saw the opportunity and he grabbed it. "Naaman, sir, I've come to you because, well, a situation has arisen. We've had two young seminarians come our way who are nearly destitute and need some help. My master's already told you he wants nothing for himself, so don't worry about that. Could you see it possibly that you would help out these two poor, miserable students who are studying to be prophets just like himself? Seminarians, there's going to be times in your life when you will respond as Elisha did, when Naaman wanted to offer him gifts of gratitude. And you will say, thanks, but no thanks. Receiving financial gifts for performing duties for which you're already being paid as a pastor, such as communing the sick, or those homebound, visiting in the hospital, marrying members of the church, burying them, all those things, doing that and receiving gifts from them always seem like double dipping to me if these are duties that have been included in your call document as duties for which the congregation is going to compensate you. But there will be times when some of you will be tempted like Gehazi. If a generous member entrusts you with a large gift to be used to hand out to the charity cases that come your way to the church's door, and you have a huge financial debt looming over your head, the size of a mortgage, you may be tempted to think, well, who is more of a charity case than me? The donor's already said he doesn't want to know who the gift goes to, and I'm certainly not going to tell him, so there you are. You'll find it disturbingly easy to take advantage of people who have put their trust in you. A woman once told me that her husband did not go to church because, as a teenager, one Sunday, while he was preparing to go out and light the candles, his pastor remarked, "Look at those poor sheep out there. I can make them laugh. I can make them cry. I can make them do anything I want." No wonder Simon Magus wanted to have the same power the apostles had and was willing to pay for it. The money he was willing to pay, he saw as simply an investment which would reap many fourfold times in return. Now make no mistake, the gospel's power is real. It's the power of God for salvation, as Paul asserts. You'll have the privilege and opportunity to direct people who have been affected by that gospel power to show gratitude in ways that are obvious and good. And doing that is in itself a sacred trust. The LWML guests who are here this morning desire to serve the Lord with gladness. They want to be a blessing in your life because Christ continues to be a blessing in theirs, giving them daily health, life, and salvation. And as the seminary offers its heartfelt thanks to them today for their support of the school and for their support of you, as a seminary does everything it can to prove itself to be a faithful steward of those gifts entrusted to it, so you follow their example when you become a pastor. Put generous gifts to work in a way that glorifies God and benefits the neighbor. Offer the donors your thanks and encouragement for their faithfulness. And because each of us has our own chinks in the armor, so to speak, some of you will be like Elisha, and you will find this area completely void of temptation for you. You'll be too busy fighting off temptations in other places, but this will be safe ground. But for others of you, this will be a temptation to follow Gehazi's example. And if you fear that this could be your undoing, by all means, let other people help you distribute those gifts. Don't do it alone that are offered to others. Go to the sacrament for strength. With the Spirit's power, resist the devil. God's word says he will flee from you as you do. And if you find yourself entangled in this so that it gives birth to a full-blown sin, be confident that relief is found in him who is Israel's God, the only God. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love on account of his crucified and risen Son. Receive the forgiveness which he offers it without objection that you're not worth it. Who is worth it? That's why it's good news. That's why it's gospel. Let his generous absolution produce in your life the fruit of repentance and faith as God leads you to manifest it. Go to those whose trust you have broken and receive their forgiveness as well, for in so doing, you will prove that leprosy is not the only disease God heals miraculously. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.